Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle from Romans chapter 6. And this passage, of course, has baptism as its main subject matter, which is really appropriate for us today, because this is baptism of our Lord Sunday, and we just witnessed a baptism in the beginning of the service. And so what this passage helps us to do is helps us to reflect on what that holy baptism means for us and how that baptism connects us to the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the greatest inventions of the last century or so has to be the hook and loop fastener, which of course is better known to most of us as Velcro. And I happen to have a couple strips of Velcro up here with me today. You guys know that classic sound. I'll do it right by my mic. Right? We all know that sound. That right there, that is the sound of genius. Right there. Absolutely. I think almost everybody, it's so universally known as a wonderful sound, the hooks and the loops separating from one another. I mean, this is an amazing invention. The person who invented Velcro was a man by the name of George de Mestral, and he was a Swiss engineer. We could actually say that even though he was the inventor of Velcro, the real inventor of Velcro was God himself, because he based this whole thing on a naturally occurring phenomenon. One day, he was out in the woods, it was 1941, he was with his dog, and he looked down and he noticed how all these burrs were getting stuck to his pant legs and to the dog's fur, how the hooks from these burrs were getting stuck. And he went home and he thought about, how in the world can we take this natural thing and turn it into something useful? Eventually, he came up with this idea. It took him a few years, but to have one side that was all loops and one side that was all hooks, and to have hundreds of these tiny little hooks and loops and put them together, and it works. The loopy side was kind of like plushy, and so it reminded him of velour, and the hook side was like tiny little crochet hooks, so you kind of mash that together, velour with crochet, and you get Velcro. And the name stuck. Get it? Okay, good. I couldn't resist. Fast forward about 75 years later, and we can't imagine a world without Velcro. Velcro is in so many things, in lots of different clothing. It's perfect for kids' shoes, right? Because they don't know how to tie their shoes yet. It's so easy to attach and detach the Velcro. They even use Velcro on the International Space Station. Astronauts use Velcro, you guys, to keep things from floating around in space. Velcro is amazing. Like I said, one of the most useful, widespread, practical inventions of the last 100 years. And Velcro is also helpful for us as Christians because it helps us to consider what it truly means to be baptized, to be connected, to be attached to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a way that's very real, in a way that's very unique. So, like I said before, today is the first Sunday after the Epiphany, so this is the day we set aside every single year to talk about the baptism of our Lord in the Jordan River, right? So that's what our gospel reading was all about today. In Matthew chapter 3, we have Matthew's account of that day when Jesus approaches John the Baptist and he insists on being baptized, even though it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to John at first. He insists on being baptized, quote, to fulfill all righteousness. And that right there is the moment that begins Jesus' public ministry. It's the very first time that the general population is able to see without a doubt that this man is divine, that he is the divine Son of God. And really, that's what the whole Epiphany season is about. It's about seeing Jesus for who he really is. This whole season, we're going to be reminded of example after example of times when it was just so obvious that Jesus is God that you'd have to be blind to miss it. And certainly the baptism of our Lord in the Jordan is one of those big moments. But there's something that's also very unique about the baptism of Jesus. It's not just about Jesus's divinity. There's an argument to be made that when Jesus allows himself to be baptized by John, it actually, in a very powerful way, shows how he is connecting himself to our humanity as well. If you think about this, John's baptism in the Jordan was considered a baptism of repentance, which means that people were going out to the Jordan in order to repent of all of their sinful ways. Well, Jesus, as the sinless Son of God, doesn't have anything to repent of. So what in the world is he doing out there? He is out there to fulfill all righteousness for us, to connect himself to us, to lay the foundation for the holy baptism that we have received, so that that baptism becomes for us like a spiritual Velcro. It makes us attached to Jesus. It connects us to him in a way that is real and unique. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And this is also where this epistle reading that we have today is especially helpful. Because Paul, in this reading in Romans chapter 6, goes to great lengths to describe how baptism connects us to Jesus in that unique way. So for example, right in the beginning of this passage in verse 3, Paul says this, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Now, what in the world does death have to do with baptism? He continues on. He says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death." So what Paul is saying to us is that when we were baptized, we became so stuck to Jesus that it's like we died with him and we're in the tomb with him. It's like we went back in a time machine 2,000 years ago and we were Velcroed right to the cross, Velcroed to the tomb, Velcroed to the nails and the thorns and the darkness and all of that. And I know that it doesn't sound very good, but we know that it is good. We know that it's good because we know the end of the story. We know that we are Velcroed not just to Jesus's death, but also Velcroed to his resurrection. So the rest of verse 4 says, "In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." A huge thing happens to us in baptism, even though it doesn't look all that big and important on the outside. But earlier in the service today, what we all saw with our own eyes, we saw a few splashes of water on baby Jake's head. But what this precious child's soul went through in that moment is so much bigger than that. Jake was Velcroed to Jesus just now. He died and rose again with Jesus just now. That's a big day for a little guy. And you know what? By that happening in front of all of us, by all of us witnessing that, that reminds us that we have taken that same journey with Jesus too. Paul goes on to say and remind the Romans here that dying and rising in baptism with Jesus has certain implications for our lives. And namely, that means that we should live our lives in a way where it's clear that we have died to sin. In fact, that's what Paul says right here at the end. In verse 11, he says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." We were talking about this a little bit in our Bible study this morning as well. One of the things that drives some other groups of Christians crazy about the way Lutherans talk about baptism is that it seems like when we're saying that someone is saved by baptism, it seems like we're just talking about them having this magic get out of hell free card. And one of the main things that's raised one of the main things that's raised as an objection to infant baptism is this whole idea that when you have a baby like Jake or like many of us when we were baptized, and you baptize them and you say that God is going to save you, God has saved you, that essentially what we're doing is saying, here, you can live your life however you want, you can sin as much as you want, and it doesn't matter because you're baptized and you're automatically in heaven. But I think it's really important, while we do confess what the Bible teaches about baptism, that baptism does save, that baptism creates faith, and faith is what Velcros us to Jesus. That is so important for us to say and to teach and to confess. But at the same time, we also need to pay attention to what Paul is saying here, that baptism means that we have died to sin. Sin is dangerous to our souls. Sin can lead us down a path where we might eventually, if we give in to sin too often, we might eventually decide that we want to reject the faith that we were given in baptism. That does happen to people. And see, this is why Velcro is such a good analogy for this. Because Velcro holds on to things, and it does it very well. Velcro, when used properly, is one of the most reliable ways to attach one thing to another. But Velcro is not super glue, right? I mean, if you want to detach two pieces of Velcro, it's fairly simple to do. And unfortunately, if someone wants to detach themselves from Christ, they can do it. It's tragic, it's sad, but it does happen. It happens all too often. Now, I don't want to cause any doubt for any of you. If you are Velcroed to Christ in baptism, you know that God will never let go of you. He never will, as long as you live. But all of us need to take special care that we don't even entertain the thought of separating ourselves from Christ. And that might sound scary. It might sound a little bit daunting, simply because we know our weaknesses and we know our failures, but there is more good news in this passage. Because we are not enslaved and Velcroed to our weaknesses and failures. We are not enslaved and Velcroed to our sin. In baptism, you have been set free. Because you are connected to Jesus, because you have died and risen with him in baptism, your sinful self has drowned in that baptismal water. That old Adam, that old Eve inside of you has already been defeated. It cannot win. Paul reminds us in verse 7 that one who has died has been set free from sin. You and I might have moments of doubt, moments of weakness, moments of bad judgment, moments when our sinful nature tries to get the better of us. But Jesus stands at the ready, day by day, offering forgiveness, offering salvation, offering freedom. He constantly is sending his Holy Spirit to you to remind you of these promises. He leads you to remember your baptism. Every time we gather together on a Sunday morning, we begin our worship service in the name of the triune God. That is the name that was placed upon you at the font. That is the name that you are being led to remember each and every time we gather for worship. When you feel like your Velcro is getting old and getting weak and that maybe it's not as sticky as it used to be, guess what? Jesus is here for you to restore you, to refresh your faith over and over again. And if we're Velcroed to Jesus, that means we're attached to him in everything. Not just his death, not just his resurrection, but his ascension to heaven too. Heaven is your home because heaven is his home. And when he comes back on the last day to restore all things, there we will be right with him, stuck to him in the new creation permanently. A place where that sound will never, ever be heard again. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.